Hey everybody, welcome back to Concierge Confidential. I'm your host, Brian Ortega, and we've made it another week here on Concierge Confidential. So, this week, I'm actually going to start planning a trip to Los Angeles. So, I'm actually going for a couple of days to LA to watch the movie Dune, which I know sounds really silly, but I've been wanting to go to California for quite a while, and sometimes you just need a catalyst to actually make you go do something. And this catalyst was to go watch Dune Part 2, which I've seen already, but I want to see again. So with that, it made me start thinking of when you start planning a trip anywhere, but we'll use Vegas because this is the podcast that I do. What do you plan first? Do you buy your tickets for the show? Do you end up going and, you know, finding a hotel that you can stay at? Do you book your airfare tickets and then the hotel? And then sort of what is sort of the domino effect of how you actually plan your trip to Las Vegas or anywhere, but in this case, Las Vegas. So I thought this would be kind of a fun exercise to sort of go through and talk out how you should plan your trip to Las Vegas when it comes around an event. And we're going to be diving into that coming up next. Okay, everybody, so let's go ahead and dive into it. So again, so I'm actually planning a trip to go to Los Angeles to see this movie, Dune Part 2, which if you haven't seen it, go check it out. But it's one of those things where you want to go someplace, and it's only certain things in that place are going to be playing. So the reason that I chose Los Angeles to go watch the movie Dune is because there's a very specific screen type and sort of type of way that they're going to be projecting the film, and that is where they have some of the biggest IMAX theaters in the entire United States. The only other bigger ones are going to be in New York, which a little bit more of a trip to do that, and I didn't want to have to ask for days off, so I chose Los Angeles because it is doable. So Las Vegas is about a 3.5-4 hour drive to the city of Los Angeles. So that was what I decided. So I knew that I wanted to drive to Los Angeles. I'm going to have about 3 days. I can drive there. Takes about half a day, really 4 hours, and then spend some time, have a full day, and then come back on the third day. So essentially, you know, pretty full 3 days, if you will. And really the thing that's centered around it is seeing this movie, Dune. So how do you plan for things like this? So this is actually a good sort of idea, especially if you're going to be flying to Vegas or driving to Vegas, which many of my listeners of this podcast come from California, where Las Vegas is a very doable location unless you're going to someplace else in California, because there's so many places. So how do you plan it? So let's just go ahead and start from the beginning. If you are planning for an event, for example, things like Adele or, you know, U2 when they were here in Las Vegas, concerts that are only taking place in those places, you should certainly look and make sure that you should you should always book the thing that's going to be the hardest to get. And in many cases, it would be show tickets. So for U2, I know that it got a little bit more available at the end of their residency. But for Adele, it was hard to get, you know, throughout the entire residency. But obviously, when it's right at the beginning, it's always the toughest. So after I kind of started thinking about this, when I first got my tickets for Adele, because I did it her first run of Vegas shows, is that she then pushed back the concert, you know, months for me. And I think it was actually more of like a year. But like, now that I think about it, like a lot of people were coming from Europe. I was like, oh, no big deal. But a lot of people were coming from like Europe and other parts of the United States who booked all their travel to just get here. And I feel really bad for them now. So like, I mean, it's been like a year and a half since this happened, but I mean, I felt bad at the time, but now just thinking about it, it would be like if I booked, you know, those exclusive tickets for, you know, a show time that I'm going to go see it on a Thursday, and then they decided, you know what, we're going to cancel it, and I was already there, I probably would make the best out of it because I'm able to go see it in other places. But what if they didn't show it anywhere else? What if that was the only movie theater in the entire world that they were showing it? So yes, I would be devastated. So I'm just sort of pointing out the fact that I feel so bad for people who wanted to come that opening week and then weren't able to go see that show. But I would say always start with the thing that is going to be the toughest to get. And in this case, it would be the show tickets. So let's use Adele, for example. If you got tickets for Adele, that would be the first order of business is purchase your show tickets. And then from there, you can start figuring out and piecing together the rest of the trip. So that one's a little bit more tough to sort of figure out because, you know, you book the show tickets, you're going to find a way to get there any way you can. But then for people from like Los Angeles, for example, do you choose to fly or do you choose to drive? So in that case, I would start looking at, flight deals to see how expensive it is to fly from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, which for the most part is typically very affordable. There's many flights that go to and from, but sometimes you want to find, you know, the cheapest option. So that is another way that I go. How is your transportation going to be getting here? And these are usually done in tandem. I always do these together. I always look for my hotel accommodations and then my travel on how I'm going to get there. So since I'm driving to Los Angeles, that's a thing that I got to skip out on because I thought of the fact, I sort of pieced together all the things that if I'm going to be there for 3 days, if I rent a car, because you cannot go to Los Angeles without renting a car. So, you know, if you're going to be there a couple days, some people can do Uber, but it's just so, so restrictive. But you're going to fly to Los Angeles, you know, sure, you're going to save, you know, time, of course. It's only going to, it's going to take maybe, 45 minutes to go up and down in the air, but, you know, let's just say two and a half hours of your time. It's essentially what it is to drive, but, you know, less stress. But then, so let's just say it's $200 because we'll say it's, let's say 150 round trip. But then you're going to spend about, it ranges between like $40 and $70 for a rent a car per day. You times that by, 3 days. You're already looking at, 150 times, you're already looking at almost $200. So 200 plus the 150, you're already looking at, $350 for transportation and, of course, the plane ride. And again, that's just if you're going from Las Vegas to here or Las Vegas, vice versa. So I'm piecing that all together. So you should think about that when you come to Las Vegas. But what I would sort of cut out is the transport in Las Vegas. Really, everybody, when you come to Las Vegas, you really do not need a car, which is, very, very helpful to know before you get here because everybody says they're going to do all these things. But I recommend when you come to Vegas, you can cut out the car portion of that whole aspect. Also, if you're coming to Las Vegas for an event, for example, I would book, again, the most expensive, the hardest thing that's going to do to book that first. Then your flight, if you're going to be doing a plane ride to Las Vegas, your hotel can actually be last when it comes to Las Vegas, unless it's a very specific hotel you want to book. We have so many hotel rooms in the city of Las Vegas that you're going to find one that's going to be affordable or somewhat in your price range. Obviously, if it's during a big event like New Year's Eve or the Super Bowl, it's a little bit tougher, but there's always going to be a hotel room that you can stay in. Obviously, the prices will differ depending on what time of the year you come and, of course, what hotel you're trying to stay at. But I believe that your hotel can always be the last thing that you book. Unless you have, for example, rewards or things that you have, saved up to use for your visit to Sin City. But I would say always book the hardest thing first, then your travel, and then the hotels here in Las Vegas. The thing that gets me the most about the things for booking in Las Vegas is that you do have to put a certain deposit down, which when you travel to other places, like I usually go with Marriott a lot of places because I have, relationship with them. And that one is a lot easier for me to book is the actual accommodations part of it. So I build that into sort of the whole budgeting, if you will. So if you're coming to Las Vegas, always book the hardest thing first, which, for example, would be like Adele. But I think that's important. I think it's always important to find a catalyst to get you to Las Vegas. And that actually might be good for some people because some people just come to Las Vegas without a clue of what to do, and then you're here. That's why you're listening to this pod is because you want to plan when you come to Vegas. So I always recommend looking and seeing if that person is traveling to this city. And we have so many really great venues. We have, the T-Mobile Arena. We have MGM Grand Garden Arena. We have Mandalay Bay Event Center. We also have Allegiant Stadium. And it's almost easier sometimes to book for Vegas tours just because it's a little bit more fun. And they usually only do like one or two stops here. Like Taylor Swift did two nights in Las Vegas. She did do like 4 or 5 nights in LA, which is a much bigger arena. But, you know, LA obviously has a lot more people. So Vegas is always a really fun destination because it just sort of feels like a special destination spot. So, again, see where they're performing and maybe you want to come to Vegas for that specific reason. So always find a catalyst. And then from there, you can branch out. And that really helps plan your trip. Because, for example, I had to choose whether I wanted to do, you know, a showtime on a Wednesday when I got there, or a showtime middle of the day on a Thursday. And this is actually a very interesting thing to have to deal with when you're traveling to Vegas. You have to plan out sort of the rest of the day. So what I always say, it's always good to have something planned, at least one thing planned in a day. I think that's always the key. And for example, let's just say that it's Adele. That would be a show that, you know, you have to plan out. So I would usually recommend that you do not travel, especially for a show like Adele. You do not travel the same day that the concert is if you're traveling by air. You never know what might happen, especially might get put, you know, especially if it's going to get pushed back, and especially if you're traveling multiple time zones, if you have layovers. Try not to travel the same day that is the concert. So, for example, Adele performing on a Saturday, I would try to get here at least on Friday or at the very least very early on Saturday. But I would say you want to get here at least the night before, because then you're able to sort of recoup, get yourself all, you know, settled into town. And then on Saturday, you hit it hard. Saturday, you're able to wake up refreshed. You can really plan out kind of the rest of the day and sort of just march down. Hey, we have to do this thing at 8 o'clock. Let's be back in the room at, let's just say, you know, 3 or 4, because then you're able to get ready. You can go to dinner and then you can go to the show. So I recommend if you have a big event, for example, things like Adele or U2, these big residencies, definitely plan out being there the day in advance. And that's going to obviously add to your entire trip. I would recommend Vegas is a very good 2-night, 3-day vacation. Come to Vegas on Friday. This is sort of the standard thing. Come to Vegas on a Friday, do your thing on Saturday, and then Sunday is the day you leave. That's very, very standard. Or you can do it sort of thrown in the other direction. You can get here on a Tuesday, do your thing on the Wednesday, and then Thursday you leave. However you want to do it, however you want to match these things up, it's good. People always ask, is like, what is the best day if a resident performer does multiple days? I would say, you can really look at these both ways. I would say if she is going to be performing on, let's just say she does 3 shows. Let's just say she does Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. That's usually pretty normal. Don't book the Wednesday if you can. Because the Wednesday, this also used to happen a lot with Celine Dion. Wednesday and Thursday is the show that they will cancel before Friday and Saturday. Because typically Wednesday, Thursday, those are sort of like the added dates. Those are the ones that typically don't really sell out. Although these big performers, they sell out all the time. But they're more willing to move the Wednesday, Thursday date to Friday or Saturday. So I never recommend those dates. So if you can, I typically always recommend to book a Friday show. Because typically on Friday shows, their voices are refreshed. It's not waning from the day before. And you typically get a really good performance. Some people say they hold back on those first dates, which could be true, but I'd much rather get a little bit toned back performance than getting on like Saturday and she's not able to sing, because we all who live in Las Vegas know that we have very dry weather here. So the humidity does play a factor in our singers' voices, which Celine Dion had this problem a lot until she got a humidifier in her house, and her entire house, which is over at Lake Las Vegas, had a very specific humidity level to make sure her voice was in tip-top shape. So I always recommend, if you're gonna have a choice to book any of these performers, always try to go the first night that they are in town, usually the Friday. And again, if you book a Wednesday or Thursday show, just know that typically those will be canceled first before they cancel a Friday or Saturday show, 100%. So that's what I would recommend in terms of booking the shows. When it comes to booking other shows, Like if you come for like Cirque du Soleil or like Absinthe or something, those things can sometimes be booked when you're here. But I still recommend you book shows before you get to Las Vegas because it's always going to be when you get the best prices. It's always going to be when you get the most availability. I would always book your shows before you get to town. I would always recommend that. I think it's just so much more helpful. And then you can build the rest of your trip around it. It's a really good catalyst point where you can go ahead and say, okay, so we have our show at 9 o'clock. Let's do dinner at 7. And then you can plan the rest of the day out from that. So you do your show is at 9:30. You go to dinner at, let's just say, 7 o'clock, and then you're gonna need time to get ready. So let's just say 4 or 5 is when you start getting ready. And then the rest of the day just sort of builds itself out. It's like, hey, well, maybe we'll go to the pool for most in the midday. And then in the morning, we'll have brunch. And you just sort of build it out sort of backwards because it's actually much harder to build out your itinerary if you do it from the morning time, just because you never know what state you're going to be at that point of the day. So it's actually funny because you have to book it backwards, which is sort of the fun way of booking things in Vegas, is you do it when it's nighttime, which I think is a good way of doing it. So I never tell people to overexert themselves when they're making their plans on vacation, just because you want to have things planned out, but you want to leave your space to discover, which is what I'm doing on when I go on this trip. A lot of times when I go on these trips, I do overplan where I have something set out every day. So, for example, when I go to Los Angeles, I usually like to do a studio tour for one day, which that typically takes up about 3 or 4 hours. And then you kind of have to figure out the rest of the day. And I would recommend booking things for the first day that for the second day that you are there. Because when you travel, it's really difficult. So a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll book, let's just say they get into Vegas on a Friday, let's just say, noon, check in, whatever, and then they want to do like a helicopter ride the same day. And it really just feels like you never settle yourself down to experience things the way you want to. Everything is rushed. You may not have your bags. You may not be in the best mood. You may be tired. You might fall asleep during the show. So I always recommend, if it is possible, to do most of your like bulk of your things the second day that you're there. The first day you're there, I would say, is a really good time to book a really nice dinner. Like if you are going to plan something for the day that you are there, the first day, arrival day, I would say book a really nice dinner. That's a really good time to do that, just because you're able to experience the entire dinner experience, if you will, and you don't have any place to go. So that's really your event of that day, is you're able to get there around 12, sort of get, take in the city, take in, the hotel that you're staying at, check into the room at, let's just say, 3:30, 4 o'clock. If your room's ready, go up. You can then, maybe get, maybe just hang out for like an hour or two, freshen up, get ready for the evening, get dressed, go to dinner at, let's just say 7. And then once you're at dinner, that's you go spend 2 hours there. And then from there, then you can go get cocktails, you can listen to some music, sort of wind, relax, sort of make yourself feel, hey, I'm on vacation now. Give yourself, tire yourself out a little bit, and then go to sleep, and then you wake up refreshed for the next day. Do things that are going to require you to be active during them. For example, if you go to a cocktail bar with your significant other, you're there, you're able to talk, sort of just sort of, hey, this, we're having a great vacation. That's a good place to start. Because if you're like my parents who get, very sleepy very, very early, it's not good to do things the same day. Just because they'll come in, they usually will eat, they get a little bit tired, and they want to go back to the room. You have to, do dinner and then do something active with them where they're going to be able to talk or they're going to walk or they're going to gamble, things that are going to keep their mind stimulated. Because if you do all that stuff in one day by traveling, then you're going to eat dinner and then you're going to go to a show. The show part is you're not very active. You're sitting watching a show with your eyeballs, but your eyeballs might get tired while you're sitting there because there's nothing to stimulate you besides the show itself. So that's my recommendation if you're going to be traveling and planning these things all in the same day. That's what I would recommend. Yeah. So moving on from that, what is something that I would sort of do while you're here? If you just traveled here on a whim, let's just say you traveled to Vegas, you're here for 3 days, what do you do? The cool thing about this town is we have so many awesome shows, we have so many awesome experiences that you can just really walk into things. Things that are great to walk into in Las Vegas are Flight Club, which is over at the Palazzo, which is an interactive experience, which doesn't require reservations. You can do Topgolf while you're here. You can go to Area 15 and walk around and let your mind just go crazy. You can also go to downtown Fremont Street, where they have the neon all up and down the strip. Well, the downtown strip. So those are all things you can do while you're here. So again, it's important to have a catalyst, but not have a strict itinerary here. Just because, again, you want to experience a great vacation while you're in town. And again, if you have any questions, you can always hit the concierge, and then we're able to sort of recommend these things. But again, I always tell you guys, have something planned when you walk up to the concierge. In terms, when I say have something planned, know what you like to do. If you do not like to hike, do not tell them you like to hike or you want to go outside. Tell them, hey, I want to do a show. Hey, I want to do a cocktail bar. And then it gets us in the right direction to help you out. So again, if you just come to Vegas on a whim, do not worry. Just always walk up to the concierge and they will figure out something for you to do. A little tidbit, I would walk up to a concierge that, again, visually, you think you're going to vibe with. So for example, I'm 30, and again, it's I can sort of talk to everybody. I think I was really good with most people that, you know, I came in contact with. But if you are, you know, maybe in your 50s or 60s, maybe walk up to a concierge who is also in their 50 or 60s. They're going to have a way better understanding of things that you would like to do because it's what they like to do. If you're, you know, a 25-year-old, typically a 50 or 60-year-old concierge, I'm, you know, not stereotyping, most of the time, they don't go to nightclubs as much as the 25 or 30-year-old concierges do. It's just natural part of life. I'm 31, and I really no longer go to nightclubs, and I never thought I'd grow out of them. But you do. So I think it's certainly a thing where you kind of want to match up with the person that is in front of you, which it shouldn't matter. But to get the best out of your experience, that's what I would recommend. Because most concierge, if they don't know the answer, they do have a stock answer for you when we get there. It's like, hey, what nightclubs are open? You know, what nightclubs would you recommend? A concierge who doesn't go to nightclubs will always recommend the nightclub in their hotel first. It's just always the way that it works. They'll not even ask you a question sometimes of, hey, what kind of music do you like? It's usually a stock answer. Like, I used to work at MGM, so people would walk up, and if, you know, if I didn't go to nightclubs, I would just say, oh yeah, Hakkasan's open tonight. They have this DJ. I think it's a really great spot. They have really great booths. They also have a nice little general admission. They have multiple floors. And let's just say Lil Jon was playing. And everyone's like, oh, I know that name. But you would have no idea that Lil Jon does not really play hip hop. He plays a lot of very, like, you know, trap music. He plays a lot of very, like, hard styles, what we call it. And nothing, anything close to what he is known for actually, you know, rapping about. So it's very different if you walk up to, you know, somebody that gives you just a stock answer. Like, for example, again, I'm 31. If I had somebody who was, you know, in their 60s, I have to ask a couple questions to figure out what they want to do. The cool thing is a lot of things in Vegas are opening that are really great for people in their 40s and 50s. So that's really nice. But back in the day, man, I would have to ask you so many questions to get to my answer because I really cared about what I gave you. And again, it's all about figuring out what is best for the guest. And that's what all we're trying to do. But again, if you walk up to, you know, let's just say a concierge and they don't, if you ask a question, a very open-ended question, like, hey, I want to go see a show. And if the concierge does not come back with, well, what kind of show do you want to see? Do you like music? I mean, that's a very general term. But do you like, you know, Michael Jackson music? Do you like Beatles music? Do you want more of a spectacle? Do you want a little bit more of an action-packed show? Do you, you know, is nudity a big part of a show that you want to go see or not see? Or vulgarity, things like absinthe. So if they're not asking these questions, they're probably not going to get you the best answer. If they're asking you those questions, that's a really good sign that you have a good concierge in front of you that's going to really be able to help the rest of your trip. So we'll call that the episode for today. Just letting you guys all know out there, I did receive a request by, I believe, Will, who will be doing his personalized Bachelor Party podcast on Wednesday is probably when we're going to release it. And then on Thursday, I'll go ahead and release another episode of Last Night in Vegas, where I actually break down the experience I had at Fountain Blue in one of their new membership-only lounges, which I was very excited to get a sneak peek of last week. So really excited to share that with you guys. And again, feel free to follow me on any of my social channels. So Instagram, it's concertsconfidential_LV, or you can follow me on my personal one, which is BrianOrtega_26. And then you can also follow me on TikTok at Keys to Vegas, where you give all of our latest videos from Last Night in Vegas. One might actually be from the morning time, because that'll be the next video coming out. But again, follow us on those channels. If you see me out in town, come say hello. That'd be awesome. Maybe I'll buy you a drink. But if you do see me, remember, keep it confidential.